Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors. Powered by Markentum.
Welcome to Bridge the Gap podcast. We are at Argentum, and this is our senior living podcast where our mission is dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing all stakeholders in senior communities. And we have a really awesome guest today, Jack York. Thanks for being with us.
It is my honor.
Awesome. And as always, my co-host, Joshua Chris. What's going on, man?
It's great to be with you, Lucas, and honored to be here with Jack. And have enjoyed the conversation with him. Every time I meet him, I've been having some great conversation leading up to this podcast, so I can't wait to talk about that today.
Yeah, so Jack, why don't you just help our audience understand just a little bit about your background and what has led you to being an advocate for seniors?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on here. It's a pleasure to be part of the cool podcast you guys are putting together. When I was living the good life in the Silicon Valley through my late 20s and 30s and never thinking of it as a business, a friend of mine had an idea to donate some computers to a local nursing home in Southern California in 1998, man, 20 years ago. And I just fell in love with it. And I was living the good life in the Silicon Valley, but I would see guys that are my age now in my late 50s, and they were almost universally rich and miserable. It was kind of like, you know, is that really what you want to aspire to be? So donated some computers, and with my brother and a friend of mine, we just jumped off a cliff and started It's Never Too Late in 1999. And from day one, our mission and our passion has just been, how do you make people living in senior living communities, particularly folks dealing with dementia, how do you make their day better? You know, we're not all consumed with brain fitness and all this kind of stuff that's kind of a cool afterthought, but it's really about just make that person's day better through technology that we all take for granted.
I think that's awesome. So 1998, Jack, I was graduating high school. All right.
And you and me both.
Yes. And then as a 25-year-old, I made my way into senior housing industry, not having a clue, but I remember everywhere I go, I got to hear Jack York talk about It's Never Too Late and all this. So I've always been fascinated. So this is really cool to be having you on a podcast, you know, 13 years later.
I call myself the Keith Richards of senior living technology companies, but half the people don't know who Keith Richards is anymore. So I need another. I need a new analogy.
No, I totally know, but that image scars me. I just gotta tell you, like every time I've heard you say that, I go there in my mind, and then I spend a lot of time trying to erase that from my mind. But tell me a little bit more. So, your mission and kind of your purpose has been helping to minister to folks that have dementia in senior communities, how you can improve their life quality. But I mean, that's a big, robust mission. Practically speaking, how do you make that happen?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. It's also, when you've done something as long as we have, you can make it sound like it's all been strategically thought and your business plans and all this kind of stuff. The fact that we started the company without any knowledge of this industry and really any knowledge of adaptive and engagement technology, in retrospect, was probably the biggest thing we had going for us. Because we went to, my observation was that most senior living communities, their activity programming, it was painful how demeaning it was. And in some cases, frankly, that still can be the case. And you got people that were doctors and lawyers and welders and teachers that are plopped, especially folks dealing with dementia, that are plopped in front of a television, and that's supposedly considered good care. And so I think we just observationally saw this problem and went to forward-thinking providers, both at a nuts and bolts working activity director and therapist level, and also at the executive directors and CEOs of innovative companies, and we just listened to them. And the whole evolution of technology the last 19 years, the touchscreen, the YouTubes, the engagement, all the stuff that you can do now that we never would have dreamed of 20 years ago. It's just been a constant incremental climb of trying to make the experience better, but it's all been driven by that same passion of how do you connect that person to something that's meaningful to them? And that really, in a nutshell, is what we have done, I think, successfully for almost 20 years.
Yeah, so you're in a ton of communities. I've seen your product and your programs and how you integrate that. So one of the fascinating things is how you bring kind of generations together as well. And, you know, in our communities, they all look different, right? I mean, no one community is exactly the same, but you've got team members and you've got family members and some are young and you've got the older residents. I mean, how are you uniting the generations through technology and through the platform?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's such a, again, one of those things that we never thought of when we started the company that's turned out to be such a cool kind of outcome for it. And I remember myself, you know, when I was in maybe seventh, eighth grade, my grandmother in what the, you know, what was the convalescent hospital, and God, you'd walk in and it smelled so bad and you just dreaded it. You just absolutely dreaded the experience. And to come in now, you know, as that same seventh, eighth grader, to put puzzles together with grandpa on an 80-inch touchscreen, I mean, it you just make the experience better. So that's kind of the just the basic level is making an experience that is something the kids wouldn't dread coming to do. What's happened, this is like I said before, the creativity among the field is astounding to me. There's a woman, Denise Rabideau, in Michigan, that had the idea to get local high school students that had been volunteers for her community before. It's the CCRC in Michigan. But most of the volunteer work had all been done with independent residents and doing more independent activities. And she was determined to say, how do we make the students want to be involved in memory care? Where it's just it's a tougher gig to try to get them interested. And so her thought was, I think brilliantly, was let's entice them with technology. And so the project that we worked for several months with EHM Services on was training high school students who were interested in technology, train them to become videographers, train them, really kind of teach them the craft. We have a great videographer in our company, Zach Mejias. And so he trained these students who then went and they filmed these memory care residents telling their life story, but also went out and they filmed local landmarks that were relevant to them. So for one lady, it was the house she grew up in. For another gentleman, it was the farm that he used to be a part of. And so then we'd put it all on these tablets. We call these focus tablets that we have. And so it was a cool experience to see the residents see these stories. But the profound part of the whole project was that one woman, young woman in particular, but a couple of the students are very enthused about senior living as a career now. That the relationships that were formed through this project has opened up these students' eyes to senior living as a career. And there's such, you know, you guys know better than I do, the whole shortage of workers, all that components to it. So for technology to be this tool to unite generations in a really a very sophisticated way is remarkable. And that's, you know, that's been the, I think the linchpin of the company has been just listen to a person like Denise and who knows what will happen. Because the technology is getting easier and easier and cheaper to do it. But the passion, you can't teach the passion. That's not going to come out of a screen. That's got to come from within people's hearts, and that's what we've seen happen intergenerationally all over the place.
I love that. And so, you know, I like that you guys are getting outside of just selling a product that's, you know, a piece of technology or a technology platform, and it goes to the community and they've got to figure it out. I love that there was actually building a custom program and helping someone with a vision fulfill that. You know, I think at least, maybe it's not the case anymore, but how are you seeing that people, are people, and when I say people, the operators, the executive directors, the owners, do people now seem to be adapting technology? Is it user-friendly for the communities, or is there still this steep learning curve where people are having to learn a lot of new things, or are you guys taking kind of existing technology that we're all kind of using and running your programs through that?
Yeah, well, it's a long question. I'll give you a long answer.
Okay.
I guess my first comment is that you just look at that. It reminds me that the fact that I grew up in the Silicon Valley world, that when in the late 70s, early 80s, when technology was first becoming prevalent, nobody thought about a computer in a person's home. It was all about mainframes and computers talking to each other, and you know, just
there's
all
one
the
talking back.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, right. The so there was all it really wasn't about again a computer person's home. It was about these bigger picture things. To me, senior living is just like that today, and that is that, you know, you look around here at Argentum, great technology, but most of it, frankly, is operational in nature and your care plans and how do you be HIPAA compliant. nothing wrong with any of that, but the person's soul can be totally left out of the equation. And I think I'm getting the wrap up. It's time to wrap things up. And
we're
good. Okay, all right.
Just
but so anyway, I think that finally forward thinking providers are getting that. You know what? Like, I think of my own parents. Both my parents are gone. But if I was choosing a community for my mom or dad, can you say crap on your podcast? Is that okay?
We can say
okay,
that.
All right.
Yes.
That I wouldn't give a crap what somebody's furniture looked like. I would care. How do you keep dad connected to the Cornhuskers? You know, how do you keep mom saying the rosary every day with the priest that she was connected with? And I think forward-thinking providers get it, and it becomes a market demand. I mean, right now it's still a little bit of a luxury, but it's become person-centered technology as part of senior living is absolutely becoming a demand, and it will be, you know, you can argue, is it a year, 3 years, 5 years? There is not any community that's not going to have this as part of a core of what they do because, you know, people my age, either, you know, dealing with dementia themselves or a lot of cases with their parents are demanding it. So
sure.
Then the other part of your question is I think there's so much stuff that's right there in front of people, whether it's Google Earth, whether it's flight simulators, whether it's YouTube. Most people just to make that connection of to a 92-year-old with mid to late stage dementia on Google Earth to look at the farm they grew up on, it's the reaction is priceless. And it, and again, it's all just sitting there, you know, in front of people, but it takes a little bit of reframing of what they think technology is. And it takes providers liberating their staff to play around with it, to make mistakes, to experiment. And though at the end of the day, those are the communities that are going to, I think, succeed in the long run. You know, the Josh Crisp world being right at the forefront of that.
Well, so that person-centered technology, maybe you could just speak to as we kind of close out the program. Is it, so how does – we have AI, we have VR now, and I think
right.
Those technologies are in a position of, you know, early growth, and people are
right.
trying to figure out how does this actually play out, and we may be a little bit early, especially in VR. But how do you think that plays out in a care environment, particularly in dementia, maybe later on?
Yeah, no, you know what it is, and I, you know, again, 19 years of doing this, if – you look at the communities that have really, really done well with It's Never Too Late are the communities that their core culture is to find out what makes that person tick. And it has nothing to do with the technology. What makes them tick? It Joe could be a farmer, and Sally a geography teacher, and Mary was a dietitian. It's then you build the technology around what's relevant to them. You know, examples like a $99 off-the-shelf flight simulator to a guy in late-stage dementia that was a fighter pilot in the Korean War, that can turn that person's life around. So I think a lot of times people get enamored with technology for technology's sake. It's the from a dementia standpoint, it's all about the person-centered piece of it. What's the music they want? What's the spirituality they want? What? And if you do that, you know, if you really do it, there you can find something for anybody. And one of my lines that I say ad nauseum over and over again, but I'll say it again, is that, you know, I'm 58, and when I was 18, I really liked Bruce Springsteen. And when I was 28, I really liked Bruce Springsteen. And when I was 48, I really liked Bruce Springsteen. I'm 58, I really like Bruce Springsteen. I'm not going to become 72 and want to have Karen Carpenter singing On Top of the World to me. And again, you know, I look at senior living like, you'll forget shoving me into your activity programming. Get me VR with a 3-hour Springsteen concert. Don't worry about drugs, unless it's another way to look at drugs, I guess. But it's a, it, no, it's th- those. I'm just so optimistic about what this stuff that's coming out is going to be able to do. But again, it all just circles back to why does it matter for that particular person as opposed to doing it for just the sake of doing it.
I love that. I think that's why you've been so successful. I love your approach. You've been a thought leader. You continue to be a thought leader. Lucas doesn't even know I'm going to ask you this, but we were having a conversation previously. I just got two words, goat yoga. Okay, there is a story behind this, Lucas. Our listeners need to hear
now
the story.
Now you have my attention.
And so, Jack, you know, take a couple minutes. And I told you, like, the end result of a story that's fascinating, but just give us the story.
I tell you, it is one of the coolest things in my life. 2.5 years ago, completely randomly, and to me it's not random, there's a whole spiritual component to it. I happened to speak in Perth, Australia with a gentleman from Cameroon, and this gentleman, Francis, he's got a long, complicated last name. I go with Francis. He's like Madonna. He's just like a one-name guy. But he has stood up against the way that country has oppressed women and the elderly. And the same year that It's Never Too Late started, he started his organization, CDVTA. And we sent him a $500 check, really just for the heck of it, as a, you know, to honor him for doing good work. With the $500 check, about 6 weeks later, he set up the Jack York Northwest Cameroonian Elderly Women Goat Fund. And with that goat, it just blew me away that that's what he did with his money. And so my comment to him is, you know, what would you do with 20 grand? I kind of randomly picked that number up. He built a senior center in Cameroon, Africa, in my mother's honor. In April 22nd last year, I was over there for the grand opening, 3,000 Cameroonian villagers chanting my mother's name. Wow. And so we are, it's a long, long story that I'd love to keep talking about, but we're partnering senior living communities with villages in Cameroon to do these projects. So I'm proclaiming it right now, November 14th. 2019 is going to be National Goat Yoga Day, and we're going to need some help promoting it. But goat yoga, it's like this hip, trendy thing that is completely relevant for nursing home and for senior living residents. Is you're doing yoga, the goats think that you're a mountain, so they climb on top of you, little baby goats. Anybody listening to this in the middle of, you know, Kentucky is like, what the heck is this guy talking about? Look up goat yoga, and you'll say, wow, what, something's going on here. So we are hoping that you guys, that Bridge the Gap, you guys are going to be in the middle of our whole goat yoga. I'll trade a drive. I'll help drive on the bike.
We have the bridge like over the ocean today. Man, what a cool thing. I've got to YouTube this. I've got to Google this to see. There's got to be videos out there, right?
Absolutely.
Of goat yoga. It's going to become a thing, you know.
You heard it here first.
I don't know if you heard it here first, but maybe you did.
Probably a lot of people heard it here first.
I think a lot of people heard it here first, but I'm excited to find out more about this, to support you guys. I love that you are getting out of the box, over the oceans, and you're taking the skills and your abilities here. You know, $20,000 is a lot of money, but they built a senior living community with $20,000. That's a lot of bang for the buck. And so
the Dorothy York Senior Center,
that's exactly right. And I can only think you probably had chills when you heard that chant.
How do you describe it? And the way It's Never Late started, a lot of it was my mom dying. There's a whole kind of spiritual component of that too. So it's kind of life going full circle with, you know, an upper middle class white guy in Southern California bonding with this guy in Cameroon from a village out of nowhere. That life is, you keep your eyes open, life is a pretty amazing journey. And, you know, you guys are living proof of that too. I love the idea of I'll ride with Pat and you guys goat with Jack. So we'll make that work.
That's awesome. So, Lucas, any final thoughts for Bridge the Gap today?
I don't know how I can follow up past the goat yoga, but Jack, we're so grateful for your time here, and thanks. We'll make sure that, I know our audience is going to want to connect with you and learn more about that and follow the journey as we go along, so we'll make sure that we connect with you in our show notes and on our social sites. So, Jack, thank you for your time today, and best of travels and experiences here at Argentum at the Expo, and it's another great episode of Bridge the Gap. You.